chapter 21 and verse number 22. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, last time we got together, we talked about the idea of the nations and their relationship to the New Jerusalem. Just to remind us, the former heavens and the former earth, which are the heavens and the earth that we now know about, have passed away. And God has already created a new heavens and a new earth and the New Jerusalem, that city lieth four square that comes down from heaven, from God. Things are different. But we see nations. Verse number 24 says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now, I asked you to think about something last time we got together. And I quoted a verse. Let's see who's been thinking about it. The scripture tells us in the Synoptic Gospels that the time will come when Jesus himself will separate the sheep from the goats. That meant save people from lost people, right? And then I asked you to think about that. Well, who's thought about it? Nothing else, I'll teach you not to agree with me too quickly. As separating the saved from the unsaved. That's the way most people interpret it. Since most people interpret it that way, it must be right. Where did nations come from? Okay. All right, at the Tower of Babel, Nimrod created cities. I suppose you could call them nation states. Let's look at it this way. Do nations have governments? What is it that makes a nation a nation? I just told you. You just have to feed it back to me now. Governments! Certainly. The thing that defines America is the American government. Not certain territorial claims. Those tend to change, don't they? But government. Government defines the United States of America. Government defines France. I could say for better or for worse, but I won't say that. Well, who ordained government? Who cooked up the first government? God did. That's right. So if God created the institution that defines a nation, does that help? We're deep in thought here. I know you've got it in your head that nations have to be bad things because that's how wars get started, right? And it seems like Nimrod started the first nation. It might seem that way. And then doesn't it just jump off the page when you read verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved? Now, this is the new heavens and the new earth. If nations were a bad thing, wouldn't God have gotten rid of nations? You know, we're living in a time when we're almost taught that being a patriot is a bad thing. We're a global community. Isn't that what we're being taught today? You need to tone down this Americanism. The Europeans need to tone down their nationalism. That's what's caused all the wars. Everybody knows that if Germany wasn't a nation, there wouldn't have been a lot of trouble in Europe. If Great Britain wasn't a nation, they wouldn't have gone around and robbed and cheated and lied and stolen from all the rest of the world. If America wasn't a nation, we wouldn't be using 3/4 of the world's natural resources on less than 10% of its people. We're so bad. Nationalism is bad. It's caused all the trouble in the world, hasn't it? Isn't that what we're being told? Haven't the Europeans swallowed the lie? They've pulled down all their borders. They've become the European Union, a super nation. And now they're dwelling in peace and harmony, aren't they? The Germans love the French, and the French love the Germans, and the Brits just love everybody. Yeah. I'm going to get to that. But that was very astute, Jane. She tried to throw me off the trail here, but it didn't work. Now she brought up a very good point. I'll get to that. You know, the devil has us about 24 hours a day, and God has our attention how many hours a week? Let's see. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sunday school, we spend 45 minutes in God's Word. Sunday morning, we might spend 30 minutes in God's Word. I know some of you math whizzes are out there adding this up already. Sunday night, we spend about 45 minutes in God's Word. Wednesday night, we'll spend 20 to 25 minutes in God's Word. How much is that? There's no math quizzes? Pardon? About 2.5 to 3 hours per week. How many hours are there in a week? 24 times 7. Huh? 168 hours in a week, and we spend 2.5 hours in God's Word. Is it any wonder why American Christians don't think according to the Word of God? Their worldview is more shaped by what they see on the CBS Evening News than what they read in the Word of God. Can you see the frustrating task that a preacher has? That Sunday school teachers have? How many hours a day do kids go to school? 6, 5 days a week. How many hours is that? 30 hours. How many hours do they spend in the Word of God each week? About 2.5 if they go to all the services, assuming they're paying attention. Do you think it's possible that a school teacher who is part of an atheistic, government-owned propaganda organ called the public school system would have more influence on a Christian young person than the Word of God would? Do you think that could be possible? I'm trying to stimulate you to think about some things this morning, because this book is diametrically opposed to what kids are being taught in the public school system. They say that God is dead, and if he's not, he certainly isn't relevant to anything that's going on today. And by the way, don't use his name. Unless it's in vain, then that'd be okay. We're descended from monkeys, so why not act like one? And the teacher's the leader of the pack. Yeah, I know we got some Christian school teachers, and praise the Lord for them. But that doesn't represent the spirit of the system, does it? Why do you pick it on public schools? Well, I'm trying to get down to the point of why we, as believers, would look at the words nations here in verse 24, and it doesn't jump off the page and grab us. It should. How many hours are you supposed to spend at work each week? Yeah. How many hours do we spend in the Word of God each week? Go ahead and say it, Doug. About 2.5. Is it possible that the environment in the workplace could have more effect and influence on us than the Word of God does? Can you see that that could be possible? Will you grant that it could be possible? How long does the CBS Evening News last? Yeah, when Dan had it, I'd rather not. But then I did NBC or ABC either. 30 minutes. How many times a week does it come on? How many hours is that? Let's see. 1/2 times 5 is 2.5. Well, that comes out to be the same amount of time that we in church spend in the Word of God. Now, I know nobody in here only spends 2.5 hours in the Word of God. I know that. I know some of you don't, from some of the questions I get at Questions and Answers. Some of you are reading your Bibles, and you have questions, and that's good. But can you see that the average Christian, if that's all they do when they go to church, is spend 2.5 hours, that the influence of the world is going to be stronger than the influence of the Word of God? Is it any wonder that American Christians are spiritually starved and wandering around in the dark and are so biblically illiterate that they can't answer some of the most basic questions? Isn't that sad? We're going to go to heaven and spend all eternity with the Lord in the New Jerusalem. I think that's wonderful. Where am I going with this? Well, Jane already pointed it out, but I'm not finished driving home the lesson yet. Do you think that our worldview as Christians is sometimes affected by what you hear when you're not in here? Of course it is. Aren't all the New World Order people telling us we need to get rid of nations because nations are dangerous? Nations cause wars? Patriotism is bad. How dare you as an American think that you're any better than anybody else in the world? Why, those third world countries over there, they're just as good as we are. Isn't that what we're being told? And if we're not careful, we start thinking, yeah, nations are the invention of the devil. Come to think of it, Nimrod did start the first one. No, he didn't. Do you realize that the scripture says that God established the nations and set forth the bounds of their habitation? Do you realize that if you read the whole context of the separating from the sheep from the goats, it's extremely clear that Jesus is talking about the nations. He's not talking about individuals. You know, sometimes we as Christians get it into our head that God has been somehow defeated. All right, so God did ordain human government, but look how corrupt it is. It is corrupt, isn't it? The American government is one of the best, but it's hopelessly corrupt. We got a bunch of tin pan politicians, political whores that care nothing about money and power and self-aggrandizement, and we keep voting for them year after year, and that's who inhabits Washington, D.C. A fine lot they are. So therefore, it must be of the devil. Well, most Christians would say, well, no, it's not of the devil. We know that human government's ordained by God, but how did it go so bad? Isn't that a good question? If nations were ordained by God, how come they're fighting with one another and slaughtering one another? God must have either made a mistake or his plan has failed. Isn't that what the world is saying? Governments are bad. We ought to turn everything over to the UN and then we'll all live in peace and harmony and we can have a great big worldwide group hug. Wouldn't that be wide? So wonderful. We'll just all get along in peace and harmony. It hasn't happened in 6,000 years. There's an old saying, never bet on a loser because you think his luck is fixing to change. This world has quite a track record of dismal failure. So the thought that has to come to mind is somehow God's plan has been overthrown by the devil. Or God made a mistake in the first place. Now, I know that this lot would be too pious to think a thing like that, right? That's why I spent 20 minutes talking about it. There you go. Do you realize that Satan never creates anything? He only twists, distorts, and destroys that which God has done. Satan has never made anything. He's called the destroyer in the scriptures. He's a wrecker. He's not a builder. And he has come in and tried to destroy everything that God has done. And that would include God's establishment of government. What does Satan do? Tries to twist it and destroy it. The idea of nations, what does he do there? Try to twist it and destroy it. Now, one of two things is true. He's either going to succeed or he isn't. It's really simple when you stop and think about it. This stuff is not complicated if you just stop and think it through. Now, if God ordained nations, is he going to be overthrown in his purpose? If God ordained human government, which is the source of nations, is he going to be overthrown in his purpose? If God ordained human government, does that mean he likes the idea of human government? If he ordained nations, does that mean that he liked the idea of human nations? If God ordained for man to have a body, does that mean that God liked the idea that man should have a body? You don't have to be a Christian very long before you hear about the resurrection. Who brought sin and death into the world? And so therefore God's plan's been foiled because we're all going to die. I know some of you young ones think you never will. Stay tuned. Mortality has this awful way of creeping up on you when you least expect it. Is anything that God purposed to do going to be thwarted in any way? No. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead. Why? Because God intended that we have a body. Sin and death was only a temporary setback. He conquered sin and death in the person of Jesus Christ. God intended that this world should have nations and governments. It's going to have nations and governments, but just not the kind that we know now. And now let's read this again. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved, as has been pointed out, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. What do kings do? Yeah, they rule, they run governments, don't they? Well, I'm funny. In the new heavens and the new earth, there are going to be nations, and there'll be kings. Well, that's interesting. But let's not forget the clause, which are saved, in verse 24. Which are saved. When God ordained human government, and as we're reminded again in the book of Romans, what is the function of a ruler? All right, to administer the law. What means does he have at his disposal to make sure that the law is administered? Pardon? The scripture says he beareth not the sword in vain. Rulers rule. Does that mean that a ruler can just make up his own rules? See, that's what's wrong with the world today. Because it's unsaved, and man in his own self-will makes up the rules as he goes along. He's totally twisted the idea of what God meant by human government, hasn't he? A government official is a vice regent of God himself. Now, the scripture says during the millennial kingdom, now I know we're past the millennium here, but during the millennial kingdom, you will have a function as a Christian. Can you tell me what that is? Will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. What does it mean to rule? It's talking about you. Yeah. To set the rules and enforce them. What does it mean to reign? Pardon? Yes. If it's like a horse's reins. This is R-E-I-G-N. Although the idea is there, that was pretty clever. The purpose of government is to hold things back. But the idea of reigning is to be in charge or in authority over. Kings reign, don't they? They bear rule and they reign. Well, now, when you're ruling and reigning on the earth during the millennial kingdom, do you get to write your own rule book? How will you know which rules apply to these people that you're reigning over? Say, what a wonderful source of the rules. So even we, when we're ruling and reigning with Christ for that 1,000 years, we're his agents, his ambassadors. We act in his stead. Does that make sense? We do what rulers are supposed to be doing today. Isn't it too bad we live in a nation now where you can't have the Ten Commandments in a courtroom? Good night, man. If you can have the Ten Commandments in a courtroom, where, pray tell, can you have them? Things are going to be different. The nations of them that are saved. Nations and human government don't end with this heaven and this earth. When God creates a new heaven and a new earth, He's going to realize what He originally intended in the creation, isn't He? He's not going to be overthrown or thwarted in any way. So why did I just spend the last 30 minutes talking to you about this? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the world has your ear for most of the time that you spend in a week. But we ought not to let our minds be captivated by what we hear on the evening news, by what we hear in the latest political stump speech by some politician. We ought to be looking at the world from God's point of view. That's what I've been trying to get across. The world calls it a world view. What kind of a world view do you have? Most Christians would say, well, I believe in God. I believe Jesus is coming again. I believe I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Well, really? What about nations? Huh? Well, nations are bad. Really? Is that why you stay home on election day? You rat. Man, I'd hate to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have the Lord ask me, I gave you the greatest experiment in civil government that's ever been on the face of the earth. It was called the United States of America. You didn't even go vote. You must not think much of my institution of government. Why do most people stay home and not vote? Well, because it's corrupt. What can one person do? Do you see that if you have a worldview that's conditioned by the Scriptures, you'd understand that civil government is God's institution? And if you're a child of God, it's incumbent on you to do whatever you can to make sure that it's run God's way. I don't think He'll be asking that question of somebody that grew up in the Soviet Union. They never had a chance to have an influence on their government. Why is the church lukewarm today? Because it wants to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and God said He hates that. And if you didn't learn anything else in the Sunday school lesson this morning, you've learned that God is going to prevail. He is going to have it His way. Not Burger King, His way. He ordained that it's going to be this way, and that's the way it's going to be, and we Christians ought to take notice of that. I want to get to verse 27 before we quit. I think I've driven that little civics lesson home as well as I can. Verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wouldn't it be awful if this whole thing that we see in the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation were a cycle? Haven't we been told that everything goes in cycles? The weather goes in cycles. The economy goes in cycles. Our bodies work by cycles. Wouldn't it be terrible
if the creation worked by cycles? I mean, we get to the new heavens and the new earth, and we're living in the new Jerusalem, and some fool messes up. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? I know you're looking at me, well, preacher, that's nuts. I mean, Scripture says it can't happen. Listen. We are surrounded by a huge religious movement right here in our own country called the New Age Movement. And there's a whole lot of Christians that like to just go and dabble just a little bit in that. What is one of the cardinal teachings of the New Age Movement concerning the destiny of man? There, I'll narrow it down for you. Reincarnation. Absolutely! Reincarnation is a new thing that they just cooked up, right? That's why they call it the New Age Movement. No. People have believed in reincarnation for thousands of years. Is there anything new about it? What's karma? I know everybody's going to dummy up now. I don't know nothing about that, preacher. I don't fool with the New Age movement. What goes around comes around. Life is a great big merry-go-round. If you've been bad little boys and girls, you'll come back as bugs. Probably get squashed. But if you be a good bug, you might be able to come back as a tadpole. Yeah, sometimes they're about functionally equivalent, aren't they? A lot of times the tadpoles have better sense. Wouldn't it be terrible if that's what the Scripture says happens? Everything goes in a cycle. Would you agree with me that that would be bad? Would we really have any hope if that could happen? I mean, here we are. We've lived through this life. We've died and gone to heaven. We've come back with Christ and ruled and reigned with Him for 1,000 years. We watched a new heavens and a new earth come into existence. We move into the new Jerusalem with Christ. And somebody, somewhere, blows it. What defiled this heaven and this earth? What's wrong with this earth? Some people think it's perfectly good. Sin. That's right. How did sin get into the world? By one man. Who influenced the man? The serpent. Who's the serpent? Satan. How'd he get to be Satan? Well, he used to be Lucifer. He's the first sinner. Somebody messed up. It wasn't even us. We weren't even in heaven when Satan rebelled against God. He brought it down and involved us in it. Wouldn't it be terrible if, after we go through all of this, somebody messes up? I know. Everybody's saying, could I be first in line to serve on the firing squad? We'll make sure you get one of the live rounds. Would it be possible that that could happen? Okay. Can somebody tell me why that can't happen? Now, you're dealing with a lot of people here, folks. Let's not forget that there's a lot of people involved in this. And there's a lot of angels. For this thing to work, every single angel has to remain holy. Every one of us that are living in the New Jerusalem have to remain holy. Not one mistake. And everybody that's dwelling in those nations on the earth has to remain holy. Not one mistake, or the whole thing starts over again. Yeah. Well, Satan didn't have a sin nature when he was Lucifer, did he? And the angels that followed Satan didn't have a sin nature when they made the decision to follow him. So maybe the sin nature isn't the thing. It's pretty obvious in the new heavens and the new earth, because as was pointed out, it's the nations that are saved. When it starts out, nobody has a sin nature. Isn't that the way this creation started out? Have you ever thought about these things? Don't you know why Satan plants the idea of reincarnation in the world? How is a person saved? Faith. What is the idea of reincarnation? Yeah. Why do you suppose Satan threw the idea of reincarnation into the world? That's where it came from, too. All right, to distort God's view. And could you say he does it to overthrow your faith? Do you know what happens when you listen to a New Age program on television? Is that positively impacting your faith? Or is it negatively impacting your faith? Well, of course, it can't be anything else. There's a war going on. You know, if you thought this could happen again, would you go about your daily life singing hymns and songs and spiritual songs as the scripture says we ought to as Christians? Why do so many Christians have long faces? Why are so many Christians depressed? Why is that? Can somebody tell me? That's right. That's right. If you start imbibing the things of the world, isn't it going to tend to try to weaken or overthrow your faith? And the world is full of troubles and trials, isn't it? You know, some people say you are what you eat. I don't know about that. But I know one thing. You are what you think. You don't suppose the devil knows that too, do you? Do you think that the devil tries to influence what you think? Do you realize that the average Christian says, oh, those Hollywood movies, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in them that I suppose isn't good for Christians. But we know better than that. It's just harmless entertainment. Is it really? Is it really? Are Harry Potter books really good for your soul? I think we've lost our way as Christians. And one of the great tools that Satan tries to use on us is have no hope. And he'll try to plant the idea in our heads that, you know, yeah, you're saved now, but you'll fall. And all those promises in the Bible, that's just pie in the sky stuff. Don't forget, somebody will mess it up. Even if it's not you, your suffering will never be over. It's always going to be just like it is now. Man, that'd give an angel a long face if he thought about that for a while, wouldn't it? Well, we're out of time for now, but if you think that over for the rest of the week, maybe talk about it some more next time we get together. God has a plan, and we need to know what that plan is. And all I can tell you for right now is you don't have to worry. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you that we can look in your book and understand that there's an end to the way things are today. And Lord, it does seem like everything repeats itself in cycles, and stuff tends to go from bad to worse. And we look at what's going on in churches and thinking, if this is as good as it gets, maybe there really isn't any hope. But Lord, we've forgotten about one thing. We factored you out. That everything is going to come to pass exactly as you planned it and decreed it. Nothing can be changed. And we are going to enter into a place where there's no unrighteousness, no wickedness, no sin will ever get into it or ever besmirch it. And we as Christians ought to hold on to that hope, because it's that that sustains us through the times of evil that we have to go through in this life. I pray, Lord, that you'd strengthen our faith day by day as we stay our minds upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.